The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, waiting patiently to be introduced, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here. Thank you, Matt.
You're just kind of like twirling in your chair, like...
Just hanging, just charmed. Chilling. Yep.
How has the term been treating you at the end of week two?
So far, so good. Classes seem like they're okay. My little history of science thing. And
nice.
Early modern, and yes, philosophy gave birth to science, but now the development of modern science is raising all of these philosophical questions about knowledge and evidence. And
so
do
beautiful.
We look and see, or do we just believe the church? Or so, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I've been reading a lot this week about ChatGPT and how it could be the end of writing for human beings, which I hope it isn't, but it's pretty brutal. You'll have to look into that. I got some articles for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the ability to ask a chat bot like a question and have it respond in sort of a scholarly tone with citation is powerful stuff, so... Yeah, got to be careful.
We might be out of a job.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah, well, you won't be.
Oh, no. AI with art right now is huge.
That is true.
Did you do something for the lyric for Cadillac? Was that? Because I saw an ad for it the other day, and I'm like, that looks like a sweet ride. And then I thought that you had said something about working for them, and I mentioned it to Drew. So.
There you go.
I did.
So well, they give you an Escalade?
I wish. I want the Celestique. Please.
Listen to you. Is everything going to end with a Q in Cadillac?
I don't know. They won't pay me in one of those.
Cadillacs are awesome.
They are beautiful cars. It is one of the first more recent times that I look at a car and I go, I feel like I live in the future. Because that car looks like it's from the future.
And it's not a DeLorean.
So. And it's not even a DeLorean. That's right.
And it doesn't require a jetpack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Continuing around the table, Professor Stephen Manning is here with us today, looking quite red.
Oh, I'm sorry. Looking
nothing
red
wrong
too.
With red.
Nothing to apologize for.
This is burgundy.
You missed the memo.
Burgundy.
I know.
That's red.
Correct.
How are things going, Stephen?
Good.
Your 2023 is off to a good start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Only took a little bit of thinking.
Can't complain.
Hopefully the baked goods today will modify any negativities that came across this week.
Mm-hmm.
Including the ones, of course, that you brought. Oh, now I'm going to introduce Dave, and he's got a mouthful of blondie.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
No, I wasn't actually introducing you.
No, now you've done it.
You made those, Stephen?
Yes.
Oh, they're just absolutely
delish.
They're off the charts.
Now that I've had to choke one down.
You may not need dinner tonight if you have another one.
But my dinner is this Mexican pizza I found.
You got one of those too? Oh,
Jack's.
Oh, we do, folks.
I found a recipe for him. So. Mm.
Add a little extra taco cheese with taco seasoning on that.
Is it a frozen
chorizo?
Thing?
Yeah.
Mexican?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yum.
Nice.
Drive-through.
See, I wasn't going to jump to Dave because I know that Mara is there. I just can't see her. It's like I have to have faith in Mara to be able to see her. And of course, Professor Mara Livesey is here on the other end of the bench, let's say.
Do I exist if you can't see me?
I don't know. I think you do. Impermanence of matter is like step zero in understanding chemistry. Let's be serious.
Wait a minute. Is this like a tree falls in the forest thing, kind of?
Exactly. It's exactly that.
It does and doesn't make a sound. Depends on how you think about sound.
That's right.
Right? Mm. If it's just the movement of air, yes. If you mean sound as heard, experienced by us, no.
Then no, yeah.
So human-centric of you.
In my
I'm sure there's some
human.
Animals out
That's
there.
That's right. I'm all for anthropocentrism.
If there isn't a word balloon, it didn't happen.
Oh, my gosh. So how's Biochem Lab going, Mara? End of week two.
Biochem Lab's going great. I'm excited about this group of students. We did a journal club this week, and they were all very engaged.
Wow, that's
asking
great.
A lot of questions, really open to discussion, and I think it's the first time it's worked quite this well, which is exciting.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their story from the last couple of years about disengagement, so we're going to all just gather around that story and give it a hug for a couple minutes.
Absolutely.
Now we can introduce Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here with a mouthful of hair as opposed to food. So.
Thanks for bringing the donuts, and thanks to Mara for also bringing the coffee cake, which apparently there's more of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now I mentioned all the sweets.
We are going to be sugared up for hours on end. I know it.
Okay. Where are we supposed to look for your handiwork when the Super Bowl rolls around?
I'm not sure just yet. Okay. I've got four projects, but I don't know if any of them are going to fly just yet.
Okay.
Rihanna's costume, maybe?
Pardon?
Rihanna's costume?
No. I'm not doing that. I've got a couple of projects. So. I'm drawn. Oh, actually, don't laugh. The last Celestique commercial had her in it that I drew. I tried to draw her.
Oh,
wow.
She's nice. Interesting to draw. Fine reference, too. So.
Well, we're going to keep an eye out for any babies that have equations written all over them and whatever it takes. You know.
That child.
Professor Heather Hill is here on my right.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, I'm currently surrounded by baked goods.
It's a good place to be.
And you're also
be.
The only one with a drink, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I asked for some coffee, and coffee was provided. So I've had too much coffee today, I think.
That's not a big deal,
is it? I'm okay. I'm fine.
You're good for afternoon coffee, though. That's a big deal. A lot of people, you know, after 2 or 3, it's not happening for them. They're afraid to stay up all night, in other words.
What's up all night?
Oh my gosh. Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. You stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okie dokie. Little intro here from one of our favorite question senders. You're going to find this weirdly coincidental, says Kimberly Richards.
Hey, Kimberly.
As you know, I download the podcast to my trusty but aging Sansa MP3 player and binge listen while I charge my electric vehicle. I also print out the Sunday crossword from the LA Times and work on those when I'm sitting. This afternoon, while charging, I was listening to the show and the question said about famous dog owners. As you'll recall, one was Asta, whose on-screen owners were Nick and Nora Charles. About 10 minutes after that question, the crossword puzzle clue was Thin Man Canine. And I laughed out loud at the juxtaposition. Mm-hmm. So, best wishes to the entire panel for a happy new year.
We're going to need it.
Thank you.
Kimberly also has periodically changes. Maybe I'm just getting old, Kimberly, so I apologize if it's been that way forever. The most hilarious email signature, important notice. The entire physical universe, including this email address, may one day collapse into an infinitesimally small space. Should another universe subsequently reemerge, the existence of this email address in that universe cannot be guaranteed.
Cover wow.
All the bases.
Somebody who understands how possible worlds work.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Everybody's getting into the multiverse.
We need a J.J. Abrams shot with this one.
Absolutely. Okay, here we go. This is a quickie to Kimberly that just came to mind when I was listening to the 80s channel from KRKE in Albuquerque. Well, it's become commonplace since the 90s for artists and groups to name their albums after a lyric from a song on the same. It occurred to me that this has happened several times before that decade, with the album title derived most often from a song that was a hit single. Mm-hmm. You'll be given the group, or performer, and have to come up with the titles of both the album and the song on the same that title came from. All the songs charted on the Billboard Hot 100 as singles, so none are older than 1989. Bonus points if you can quote the entire lyric to put the title phrase in context. These are more or less in a semi-chronological order starting with 1966. Thank you, Kimberly. Some will be more obvious than others.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Year of my birth. My next problem set. Some of these questions will be more obvious than others. Okay. What is it for Simon and Garfunkel? 1966. So we're looking for the lyric from the song from the album that became the album title. This is tough.
Parsley, sage, rosemary.
That is exactly correct. Excellent. Yes. Excellent. From Scarborough Fair. Yep, that's right. Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Beautiful. Oh, gosh. We should just rest on our laurels.
That's it. We're done. Good night.
A laurel is a good place to rest.
Then the graduate, too.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
That's right. Moving to 1969. And, you know, Kimberly didn't specifically say that I should bring up the year, but I want to do my best to keep you all in line here.
In line.
So 1969, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Mm-hmm. Think album title.
Moon Rising something.
Bad Moon Rising?
Bad Moon Rising. Green River. It wasn't Green River. It was...
Run Through the Jungle.
Not Rouge River.
I do have the lyric. I won't sing it. But I will read it with the missing piece, and maybe you can get it that way.
Yeah.
Down on the corner, out in the street, blank are
Billy
playing.
It's not Poor
Billy
Boys.
And the Poor Boys? Yeah.
Poor Boys. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Very good.
And
bring a nickel.
I'm gonna
tap your feet.
Head on street.
So that's Down on the Corner. Very good.
Nice.
From Willie and the Poor Boys. Moving on to 1977, our good friend Elvis Costello. What do you think about that?
Ooh,
My Aim is true.
Oh my gosh.
I got it. Again, we're going home.
Absolutely.
All right.
Do you remember the name of the tune?
Allison.
It's Allison, that's right.
Great song.
Yeah, very, very good. Allison, I know the world is killing you. Oh, Allison, my aim is true.
Mm. No, the world.
Incredible.
He's still out there touring, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's great.
Love he's married to Diana Krall.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Also wonderful.
She's awesome.
Yep. I'm sorry.
They met on the set, I believe they met on the set of that movie about Cole Porter.
It wasn't Anything Goes or anything.
No.
Red Hot and Blue. No, that was an album.
DeLovely.
Oh.
There you go.
Anyway, that was kind of random.
No,
please
not
proceed.
Random at all. I was just about to, as I always do, remember The Simpsons when Elvis Costello was on. Somebody got upset with him and knocked his glasses off. My image! Such a big deal. How about Dire Straits, 1980?
Brothers in Arms.
Yes, yes.
1980.
Oh, Sultans of Swing.
Mm-mm.
Oh,
no, what? That's not what I got.
Dire Straits. I remember the album cover. I remember the music video.
I remember that big guitar.
Yeah.
That silver
big,
guitar.
Yeah,
on
big
the
guitar.
Cover.
Oh, no. Like, you're thinking Money for Nothing.
Yeah, Money for Nothing.
Yeah.
But that was later.
That. This is before that.
Oh, before that.
This is the Sultans of Swing era. Right? That came out in the late 70s, I think.
Dire Straits.
I thought it was early 80s, but...
This is the lyric. She's blank on location. She don't know what that means. I'll give you another clue. The tune is Skate Away is the name of the song.
Skate.
We're looking for a lyric from Skate Away that became the album title. This could be the one that dings us.
Could you say it again, please?
Sure. She's blank on location. She don't know what it means.
She's right on location.
She's hot on location.
Lost on location.
This is a little bit out of the ordinary. She's making movies is the name.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then you should have said blank, blank, not just blank.
I'm sorry.
Well, that would
give more blanks. Absolutely.
Shooting blanks.
I don't give any blanks.
That way we would have been doubly confused.
Okay. How about Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Come on, Eileen.
From 1982. Yeah, but what's the name of the song? What's the name of the album, pardon me?
I don't know. There was no other song, was there?
Did they have another song?
Yeah. No, One Hit Wonder.
Yeah, I was going to say.
For real.
I'll give you this. From Come On, Eileen, but what part of Come On, Eileen became the album title? Don't think too hard.
Eileen?
It's not Come On, Eileen.
Oh, no. It's not.
You Mean Everything to Me. I'm thinking of trying to think of lyrics from that song.
But You're Dirty Girl.
It is kind of a nasty song.
Oh, well,
You read the lyric out loud.
Sorry.
Double entendre.
Sorry, listeners.
No, you're not.
So we're looking
Dave
for
Dave Knows My True Self.
The album title?
The album title is a part of the lyric from the song, and it's not as repeated as much as Come On, Eileen, but the other part.
The Turulaye.
It's
Turaye.
Turaye.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Kimberly is very quick and proper to point out Dexys, D-E-X-Y-S, no apostrophe, as so many improperly do something to it.
The video was good. Barefoot, playing
violin. Their lead singer didn't like it. The song.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
until the royalty check comes in.
Huh. Same with the band that did Riding on the Metro and
Berlin.
Take My Breath. Right. The guy who was the keyboardist for Berlin really hated Take My Breath Away and didn't want to keep... And, of course, it was huge. It was a huge hit for them. Mm-hmm. And that was part of why they broke
up.
I'm
sure it made a boat payment or two. You know,
different styles of music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about 1984? Getting a little closer to the present. Scorpions. I know you all are really big Scorpions.
Rocky like a hurricane.
That is the song. But what lyric from Rock You Like a Hurricane became the album title?
Here I Am.
That is fantastic.
The only other lyrics I know.
That is great.
And they also play that Something Carolina with Midnight hockey game. In it.
So. How about this? Yeesh.
Yeesh.
He's licking his lips. He's ready to win on the hunt tonight for blank, 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 blank.
Count.
Oh, it's an improper. What is it called? Help me out here, English professor. An improper, like a non-direct rhyme. So it's going to be sort of hard to pull out.
Oh,
plus they're German.
Yeah.
So the lyrics were probably originally written in
corrupt rhyme. No.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
What is English? What?
I mean, there is a word for it, and just went right out of my head.
I'm so sorry.
I'll never get it back.
He's licking his lips. He's ready to win on the hunt tonight for
Imperfect Love Rhyme at First Sting.
Imperfect. Oh. Yes, there we go. So yes. You rhyme win with sting? Sure. Yeah, I'll
That's
take it.
Not even close.
It's poetry. This is wonderful. Uh-oh. This is so weird because Leslie was just talking about this last night. She's like, just randomly making dinner. Do you remember Sade? I'm like, of course I remember Sade.
It was a birthday.
So good.
1984 from Smooth Operator. What is the lyric that became the album title?
Diamond Life.
That is exactly correct.
All right.
We are rocking out on this one. Diamond Life, Lover Boy, We Move in Space with Minimum Waste and Maximum Joy. Gosh, her voice,
I have that CD. It's outstanding.
Man. Yes. Mad crush on her.
Sade, that's wonderful.
And David Crosby died.
I know.
Yes, I saw that.
So Graham Nash is somewhere saying, oh my God, you died and you left me with Stephen Stills.
And Neil Young's going, what happened?
I got out of there in plenty of time, right? There wasn't a why very long.
How about Jefferson Starship, 1985? From the song "We Built This City."
Built this city.
This is the only one on this list I would have gotten.
Marconi plays the mamba. Listen to the radio. Don't you remember?
Five blanks, sinking in your fight. Too many runaways eating up the night.
I'm just useless.
I know.
Something about America's youth.
I feel like a three-toed
horse. Yeah, but that's not what this is. That's good, though.
Is there something rocket in the title?
Mm-mm.
No, I think it's something else.
No.
Oh, Grace Slick, you vexed us.
This is tough. This one is tough. It's Knee Deep in the Hoopla.
That's right.
Is the name of it. Yep. Knee Deep in the Hoopla.
That's how we feel right about now.
Yep.
I think that should have been six blanks.
Does a hyphen count?
I had him going there for a minute.
How about the same year, 1985, our old friend Elton John from his track Nikita? What was the name of the album?
Yellow Brick Road.
Mm-mm. Good guess.
No, 1985, it wouldn't be.
Something in the Wind.
Candle in the Wind.
Getting
Candle
closer.
In the Wind. Candle in the Wind.
With eyes that look like blank, 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 the human heart a captive in the snow. That's your big key there, keyword there, snow. With eyes that look like blank, blank, blank.
Charcoal?
Bloodshot? Mm.
Rhymes with snow? Is that the hint?
Yeah.
The human heart a captive in the snow. That's the second part of the lyric.
Hang on, I'm like going down your path here. I'm trying to think bad haiku.
Yeah.
Beth does a little hum and then you pull it out there. You're doing all right. You're doing all right.
Why couldn't these be Christmas lyrics when Paul and Jim?
This one's tough. This one is tough.
Yeah,
I don't remember the last time I've even heard the song Nikita.
Me neither.
It's Ice on Fire is the name of the album, with eyes that look like ice on fire.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
They're doing pretty good, though. Still doing pretty good.
It sounds like a Springsteen lyric.
It does.
It sounds like something Bruce would write.
Sounds like a Weird Al song.
Okay. How about 1985 all over again. The Cure from Close to Me. Oh, if only I was sure that my blank, 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 blank was a dream. Now you're laughing at me every time.
I don't know, because I made you do it.
You all weren't into The Cure, huh?
Kind of, sort of.
The lyric that became the album title is The Head on the Door. The Head on the Door. But as per many of those late 80s, as we referred to them, alternative rock scenarios, the song was released in 1985, but it did not chart until it was re-recorded by the same band several years later.
Wow,
because people were just ignoring those bands in terms of the mainstream, which I think is interesting. All right, one more. Michael Damian, 1989, from Rock On.
Michael Damian,
yes.
It's hard to get any right when you don't know the artist.
Yeah, I'm like, who?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's tough.
Michael Damian?
Well, I think that we've covered all the bases.
Is he like a no-hit wonder?
Where do we go from here? I'm not blanking that one because it's the whole freaking lyric. And blank. Yes, I'm not doing it. That's from 1989's Rock On.
We're getting dinged. We'll take the ding and live with it.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Yes, those were great. And actually, Kimberly sent a wonderful follow-up message. Don't know if you got to that set of questions I sent. The early new wave single Pop Music by M, 1979, also incorporates the album title in the lyric. You recognized it,
I just remember Pop Music.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Pop Music?
Nope.
That's about the only lyric I remember.
That's the only lyric I remember.
There is a couple of cities that are mentioned that became the album title.
Not like London, Tokyo, the usual big cities.
Basically.
Yeah.
New York, London, Paris, Munich was the sort of staccato.
Germany and Japan.
That, so, there you go. Thank you very much, Kimberly, for those questions. Oy. That was awesome.
Made me relive cable TV.
Do that with Beatles songs or Bruce Springsteen
songs. No, seriously.
Yeah, I could have gotten any of that.
Or nursery rhymes.
Absolutely.
Or comic books.
Okay. Comic books.
You get enough comic book questions on this show.
All right. Greetings from Port Angeles, Washington. Mm-hmm. I told myself I would send these questions before I went to bed. It's been quite some time since I submitted questions to the fine show, so I offer up my sincerest apologies. Your podcasts make an accompaniment during my daily travels out here on the ferries. I'm sure some of my fellow passengers probably question my sanity when they see me giggling incessantly as I listen to your show on my earbuds.
Aww.
Rather than ride on the coattails of other listeners sending in questions, it's high time I carry some of the load and get myself radio immortality.
Ooh.
Below are questions that are all over the place, just like the professors like it, or at least I hope they do. I had fun making the list, and I hope they prove worthy of your show. Please enjoy. Best wishes, our friend from Port Angeles, Washington, Amy Dixon. It's been a while, Amy, but we're glad to have your questions.
Yeah, thanks, Amy.
That's pretty awesome. Okay. What was the first consumer item that was sold in the former Soviet Union? Former and future Soviet Union. There, I said it.
Coca-Cola.
I have to give partial credit. It's Pepsi. It's a very good guess. A very, very good guess.
And I got in right before Stephen.
You did.
Thank you.
Absolutely did.
It was the wrong answer.
Oh.
Pepsi Coke.
Yeah, whatever. Pepsi Coke. Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper.
Why are Sarah Yates Bunker and Adelaide Yates Bunker so famous?
Because they have really awesome names.
Partial credit.
Battle of Bunker Hill?
No.
No?
Bunker.
Let's see.
Did they name? Were they
Archie Bunker?
Archie Bunker?
No, they're not related to Archie
Siamese
Bunker.
Siamese twins?
That is exactly correct. They were the wives of the conjoined twins, Chang and Pang. Yes.
I still don't understand that.
That's one to scratch your head about.
Yeah. Cool. Well, interesting.
Give new meaning to Diana's claim about there being three of us in this marriage. So
there's
crowded.
Four of us.
Yeah, a little crowded. I'm looking in a Stephen-style direction when I ask, what U.S. president originally founded the Progressive Party?
Theodore Roosevelt.
It was Teddy
Roosevelt.
T.R. Yep, you got it.
Stephen.
Okay, my work here is done.
I mean, you went to school at the birthplace of it, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little behind, that's all. I mean, he ran for president a very large number of times. Like, I mean, he was just sort of all over the place.
Wasn't he the first police commissioner of New York City as well?
Either that or New York State. I think you're right. Yep, absolutely.
I think he was commissioner of the city.
Whatever. We got Chief Ike. We're good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. This is a wonderful piece of trivia. And Amy, if this is the last question we do today, everybody's going to be very happy. After the 2000 Olympics, the International Table Tennis Federation increased the size of the ping pong ball from 38 millimeters to 40. What was the rationale behind this very important decision?
Slowing it down, what? TV ratings.
That is exactly something. Correct. On the nose. It slowed the ball down and made it easier to see on television.
Two millimeters.
No, I still, do you remember that? I remember years ago, it was Dan and I, we had that one question where, was it, they also outlawed the you know, the contestants couldn't wear white, so they could hide the ball inside their uniform as they served.
Oh my gosh.
And then, you know, Dan, hey, what if you wore polka dot?
Does anybody
white polka dot.
Does anybody play ping pong?
Table tennis, yes.
I mean, not competitively,
since I was a kid.
Oh, my
Chinese
gosh.
Play it all the time.
My Chinese Canadians, too, mind you.
My brother and I could get into the wickedest matches, man. It was wicked.
In the hotel in Beijing, they had a whole. It was in the workout room, the fitness room.
Yeah,
it is the workout room.
Yeah, it is. And there'd always be people up there, and they'd also.
Maybe we should have a table tennis party.
Absolutely,
or table tennis party.
We would need a table on which to play tennis.
Yes.
It does say here, for the record, that they also did the thing about the ball that Dave was talking about. They prevented players from hiding the serve from the camera watching the game and instituted an 11-point victory versus 21, which is more traditional. Mm-hmm. So.
Is it still 38 to 40?
No, it went from 38 to 40 millimeters.
Yeah, is it still 40? I mean, the legal size?
I'm sorry. I'm just envisioning some big meeting, single light bulb hanging in the middle of the room around a table like this. Ladies and gentlemen, we must find a way to make ping pong more accessible.
And make sure people don't cheat by hiding them.
Oh, my God.
Well, let's have a glow the ball a different color. It. Yeah, exactly. A different color ball.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
The bright yellow ones.
Unbelievable.
Mm. I remember as a kid playing with bright yellow and orange.
Hurts the
some
eyeballs.
People golf with colored golf balls, too. Not a fan.
This fictional character had an unrequited love crush on his school teacher, known as Miss Othmar. She later got married and became Mrs. Hagemeyer. Who is the character?
Was it Linus or Charlie Brown?
It was Linus guys? From Peanuts, yes. Linus Van Pelt. Absolutely. Miss Othmar.
I only want my fair share.
I only want what's coming to me.
Oh, it's so great.
Linus's right? sister.
So beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Two ladies once snuck out of a White House event, commandeered an aircraft, essentially illegally, and went on a joyride over Baltimore. Which two ladies are these?
Amelia Earhart.
And?
Eleanor Roosevelt.
And Eleanor Roosevelt.
That's excellent.
The most awesome piece of trivia.
Maybe that's where they got the plot for Stripes, you know? I mean,
I love that.
That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? That's awesome. Way too fun.
Awesome.
Did that give the year on the question?
You know, it did not. I'm so sorry, but it's beautiful.
Can you imagine?
Beautiful.
In the 30s
or 40s.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We have time for one more question. Which were the first two teams in the NHL's first television broadcast of a game circa 1952?
Let's say the Boston Bruins.
I'm going to go Montreal.
Montreal.
Montreal is correct.
Detroit.
Yes.
No,
it was the original six.
It's only six.
Detroit versus Montreal.
You mentioned five.
Viva la Habitat.
I think it's Chicago.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, professors. The screen is red, so the time has come to say goodbye, Heather.
Bye-bye.
Dave.
See ya.
Mara.
Goodbye.
Stephen.
Goodbye.
And Beth.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.